Hello and welcome to Awakenings. That's a bit of Breathe by the Urban Myth Club. I just love that name, Urban Myth Club. I think we're all in a club. We're all in a urban rural myth club. I'm your host, Michelle Mache. I want to welcome you all with love, light, and wisdom. And I want to also say hello to all that are listening via Cosmic Dimensions and also the wonderful, wonderful holders of the sacred space of empowerment in the chat room. Welcome to all of you. And welcome to all of you growing listeners that are listening via the archives and via iTunes. And Odeo, I got a listener that has downloaded the program from Odeo, and want to welcome you all. Here we are at Awakenings. We're at this wonderful converging flow, this place of unfolding, and it happens in many ways. And Awakenings is a place to really track the awakenings, this awakened state, and find out what people from all walks of life are doing with this awakened state, how they're awakening, and how is that impacting your life? How is your spiritual integration impacting your life? How are you living with more passion, more purpose, more fulfillment? How are you tuning in to the truth of who you are and living that? And because of that, we have such a diverse group of people that listen, that also are our guests, whether they're, you know, progressive thinkers, well, they're all progressive thinkers, whether visionaries, authors, musicians, you know, any, really, it doesn't, the outer form of what someone is doing isn't really the message here or the connecting point. It is living more from the template of your soul, living more spirit-led. People that may have always known this and felt this and want to share this. So we have metaphysicians on, spiritual teachers, guideposts along the way, guiders, if you will, of this journey, astrologers, mothers, daughters, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, it doesn't matter, you know, father, you know, son, students. It really doesn't matter, and I think that's the beauty when the awakening begins to happen within someone's lives. They begin to realize that it doesn't matter what I'm doing. It's how am I doing what I'm doing? How am I living more awake, more aware? Am I living more fulfilled? Am I living from the truth of my being? And so really at Awakenings, we're all about that, and we're all about supporting through insight, inspiration, information, transformational tools, spiritual tools, mental, emotional tools that help people on the path of this unfolding of becoming more conscious, more awake, and more aware. And those that have come in with this awareness already, this consciousness, that have come in more fully realized and actualized, it's about connecting with like-minded individuals and maybe sharing along the way their growth, their path. And also, if you have this state of awareness, it's about claiming it, naming it, recognizing it for you, and living from this. So now it's not the time to live from the under the, you know, the shadow of your being. It's mixing shadow and light and really seeing them all as the same. So if you are a guest in the chat, welcome to the program. And if you'd like to interact in the chat room, ask questions, give feedback, and you aren't registered through Blog Talk Radio, all you need to do is go to the bottom of the chat window, and if you want to sign in, you can sign in, and if you aren't a part of the Blog Talk Radio forum, all you need to do is register, and that's just your name and email. And then you can ask questions and comment in the chat as well. Also, we have many people that are listening by phone, and that's fine. I get a little bit of a heads up via email that some people are listening by phone. But if you would like to ask questions or you have a comment, you just want to be heard, you want your lovely voice to be heard, the number is 347-539-5122. And if you have a question or a comment or you want to be heard, just press 1 on the keypad, and that lets me know that you have a question or a comment. And again, if you're just listening, the number is 347-539-5122, and press 1, and that gives an indication on the keyboard, the switchboard, that you want to be heard. Keyboard, I must be thinking musical. We have some musicians coming up that I'm kind of excited about, so maybe my mind is to music. 347-539-5122, listen number and call in number as well. We've been receiving some amazing feedback. We're doing, I don't know if I want to say contest, because everybody's going to be a winner in this with something, but I really wanted to know how and where you listen to Awakenings. And this started a couple weeks ago by a few callers mentioning how they listen. And I've been getting some emails more and more these days about the impact of some of the guests on Awakenings and the topics and just having this type of program. And some had been mentioning where they listen, you know, and some had, I think we had a caller that called in, I think it's Enlighten Me Please, I don't know if they're in the chat at the moment, that had said, you know, kind of, shh, I'm listening at work. So they called in, but they couldn't talk really loudly, so I had to repeat the question to the guests and so that make sure that people could hear her. And I was thinking, wow, how and where people listen to Awakenings, because it's very diverse, which is, I think, the beauty and blessing of having archives, you know, that you can download on your iPod or have on your iPhone, and that you can listen anytime you want. I mean, that's just, to me, amazing technology. So I want to know from all of you how and where you listen to Awakenings, and any feedback that you want to give me would be great, but I just really want to know how you listen to Awakenings. Where are you when you listen to Awakenings? Someone was telling me when they house clean, you know, they have it on their iPod, and so they're vacuuming and cleaning and they're listening to Awakenings. So how and where you listen to Awakenings, and the email address for that is awakenings@selfinlight.com, and that will get to me. And I'm keeping a whole file of them, and over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to be reading them on air as well. And Kathy's listening at work. Yes, at the computer. I love it. Having that vibe come in the workplace, this vibration, I just love it. And also, if you want to be on the email list or find out what's happening with Awakenings or Self and Light or myself or any other, we have some great things in motion, some wonderful interactive things. So that is also awakenings@selfandlight.com for that, or go to selfandlight.com. And, of course, on Facebook, we are at Awakenings Radio, and been getting some wonderful links there as well from various people. Light is saying laptop in bed, just waking up. I love that too. Get your tea or coffee and just relax, or your smoothie. Before we bring on our guest, which I want to touch on a listener, Scott, who talks about listening to the podcast at work. Work on the computer all day, and I have the benefit of listening to what I want over my headset. Let's see. I've decided to listen to podcasts on topics that interest me, but that I'm not very knowledgeable of, and had some questions. So I want to touch on these, and I'll be doing this throughout the month, and then we'll have a drawing for those that email in. You got to email in, though, because otherwise I won't remember what you're putting in the chat room and to how and where you listen to Awakenings, and do it. We'll have a wonderful gift for everyone. What kind of psychic abilities exist? How do they manifest themselves? Well, psychic means coming from the psyche or the soul. And everyone has intuitive abilities. Everyone has a sixth sense. But that can be developed further into a psychic sense. And you can get it through it comes through the mind and body. So some people it's a gut reaction, a gut knowing. Some people clairsentient, clairaudient, some people empath, so some people hear things, some people feel things, some people smell things even, or combination. I am a full channel, full body channel, so I always, sometimes I feel and get my messages through all the representational systems, meaning sight, sound, touch, you know, feel, impression, vibration, hearing it, feeling it, seeing it. Not everybody is that way. Some people, it's just they hear something. Some people, they see something. Some people, they feel something. It just depends. So I'm going to read a couple of these, but I'm going to get back to these the next time I have a full program. And we're going to do this, answer your questions bit by bit throughout the program, because I'm really getting some great feedback and suggestions and great questions that I'm going to touch on another one that Scott brought in too. How does a novice, such as myself, tell the difference between actual experts and charlatans? And that is a really, really, really good question. To some degree, your inner knowing, but it's really, you know, whether it's healthcare practitioners, healing practitioners, you know, psychics, spiritualists, you really have to look at their a good track record and not just by what they say. And you also want to work with somebody that has good boundaries, that is, that you can tell is clear enough, that isn't projecting their stuff into your session. If they're talking about themselves too much, I mean, sometimes a light example is fine, but for the most part, you should not feel they're projecting their past or their beliefs on you. It should be very objective. It should be all about you. And it should also be in a term or a way that it's not, that, because we do have free will choice. Now, there is the thing that sometimes there is a destiny. Sometimes there is a destiny issue in play. But sometimes there is free will, and there's also a time that we can delay something or forestall something, and there's times that we can actually change something or just even change our mind. But I would say, honestly, it's like looking for a doctor, a dentist, a plumber, an assistant. You know, you have to feel it out. You have to. If you're feeling like, no, this isn't right for me, then I would definitely go with that. You know, just think of a dentist. Who do you want in your mouth? Who do you want as a doctor? Who do you want as any kind of personal service, you know, connection? What type of individual? And I wouldn't be, you know, it's different folks for different strokes. So, or different strokes for different folks, whatever that saying is. Sometimes somebody is great for one person but not great for someone else. It depends, you know, where you're at and what you really need and want. So sometimes a friend is excited about someone. Oh, this person is great and they're amazing. And you're just not feeling it. And so now somebody in the chat, a $10 psychic won't be as good as a $5,000. No, and that's another thing. It doesn't really matter how many, and that's why one of the things on my program, on the Awakenings, we do have people from all walks of life, and it's not just all, you know, major authors or booksellers, or because those aren't necessarily good. I mean, people can have a good promoter or promotion. So I wouldn't go by necessarily their following, and I wouldn't go by the monetary or the money. I've definitely done readings for free, or done a lot of charity work, philanthropic work. So you can't really go by that, but you do need to go by what their background, you know, ask questions, you know, should have, you know, at least a minimum, a website, some kind of feedback or testimonial. But again, I'm being sarcastic. Oh, thank you. You opened it. In the chat room, I expect you to disagree and make a good point. Yeah, thank you. That was good. I love that sarcasm. And you're right. Because a lot of times people think if they're paying more for something, it must be better. And believe me, I have some amazing teachers, present and past, that didn't charge very much. One that actually was on Oprah and decided didn't want that route, took themselves out of the limelight. So, in fact, I'm more for the ones under the radar. I'm more for the more obscure teachers, because they do tend to be, in my estimation, better. Because it's hard to do both. It's hard to keep. You want to work with somebody that still works upon themselves. No ivory tower here. You want to work with someone that is in terms of I'm working on, or in my path, or, you know, that not somebody that is the, you know, the great guru of them all, and you know, is the grand poobah and no more learning. You know, you want to see, do they have teachers? Are they still working on themselves or co-creating, playing with themselves in a sense? You know, are they allowing themselves to just got bumped out. Another good point in the chat, when do psychics develop reputation? The best ones come by recommendation. Yes, absolutely. I've never advertised. So, and someday I'll go into the whole story of how that unfolded. But not to say that some aren't, you know, that are good, aren't advertising or putting their name out there somewhere. You have to find out about people, programs like this, you know, websites, directories, that kind of thing. But for the most part, again, it's just like picking someone else that you want to work with on a close basis, whether, you know, a therapist, psychologist, again, doctor, lawyer, you know, and again, it depends on the person's emotional, mental development to whether there's going to be any shenanigans going on. You know, I've heard horror stories from some clients of mine that have worked with psychiatrists or psychologists, but also from certain plumbers or subcontractors, you know, or architects or, you know, a doctor or a secretary that worked with them. That they have. So people are people. You have to bring in the people factor, the human factor into it. Because even though people are doing this kind of work, they're still working on themselves. And so also in a session or reading, if something doesn't totally indicate to you or you feel like, nah, it's not a match, file it somewhere. Sometimes it's something that you don't know yet and is going to be revealed. Maybe you won't know. But if something feels off for you, also honor that. And they should be able to tell you a bit about where you've been or what you've been doing. It shouldn't all be future and it shouldn't be all kind of only ethereal, you know, etheric kind of more pie in the sky. There should be some grounded information there. So so thank you, Scott, for that, for starting that opening. And also thank you for the input in the chat room as well. That gives us a wonderful diving off point. We have with us today, which I'm really, really happy about, colleague of mine that I very much respect, that also I feel I'm going to get some answers with or some clarification, because a lot of times getting something as a psychic medium and channel, you know, don't have the reference. But with astrology, you do have this grounded reference point called the chart or called the aspects or the configurations within the chart that wonderfully explain things. So we have with us today Diane Lerner, transformational astrologer. She's a certified hypnotherapist and transformational astrologer dedicated to empowering others on their unique path. She graduated with honors from a nationally accredited hypnotherapy college. She's dedicated to inspiring clients by enhancing their self-awareness and highlighting one's purpose. The website is PiscesSolutions.org. That's PiscesSolutions.org. She also works with a base in transpersonal psychology, and she's also extremely intuitive and wonderful, gifted reader as well. And so welcome to the program, Diane.
Thank you, Michelle.
Great to have you back on.
Thank you. It's good to be heard again.
Yeah. And boy, do I have questions for you, because we seem to be in this major transition point right now. Seems to be a lot
absolutely.
Going on.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, a lot has already been said about the current status of our outer planets and the very powerful evolutionary forces that are creating these changes for many of us on a very deep level. So I just want to say that, you know, the degree of severity of a change depends on how and to what extent our individual and collective consciousness awakens. So I just want to remind everyone to keep listening to this show.
Oh, thank you.
You're obviously one of our guides.
Oh,
it's an awesome tool.
Oh, thank you. So that is true. So that's a very good point you bring up. So you're saying what we will experience individually. And also, if you could either speak up or put the phone closer to you.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
I want everybody to hear you. So you're saying then that depending on where we're at on our, I suppose, mental, emotional development, individually and collectively, determines what how severe these changes will be.
Yes. Meaning where we're at on our level of evolvement or ascension depends upon how much change we need to make, and therefore how much or to what degree it may feel like a quote-unquote crisis.
Mm.
Because, you know, these planetary configurations are certainly suggesting major upheaval. And
right.
So having the awareness, and of course, you know, how long we've been on our path, our journey, and how much we have been, you know, kind of aligned and listening and, you know, tapping in, depends upon our awareness, our courage. So that all has a lot to do with how big these changes will feel for each person.
Mm-hmm. So can it be different for each person? In other words, I know we have the collective transformation or transition that we're in.
Right.
But so could some personal transitions be less, I guess, extreme?
Yes.
Than others?
Yes, that's what I mean. You know, I think that a lot of times some of these aspects, well, they can be dramatic. You know, they can feel very dramatic. But if we're someone who has pretty much gone along with change throughout most of our lives, and a lot of it just depends upon one's demeanor, you know, how well mm-hmm. each person resonates with change has a lot to do with, you know, how challenging or how disruptive a change or, again, these, you know, these aspects, how they affect
mm-hmm.
us personally.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, one thing I've been, and I mentioned this to you, and this is why I love astrology. I think people, you know, my humble opinion, need to get their chart done more than once and by more than one person. I'm a big proponent of that, not just, you know, for the transits, but also to get a collective kind of reading or take on, you know, one's path through the natal chart, definitely, and then also
yeah.
the transits. But
I agree.
You agree? Yeah, as well. I've been getting from my guides, the spiritual hierarchy and then the oversoul, that, you know, no more time for talk or contemplating or meditating, no more time for thinking. It's a time for action. So even the workshops I've been doing, they're all structured on action, you know, conscious creation, put into action. And I'm just like, okay, I get it. And I see it and I feel it. But I want to, in your understanding, through the work that you do, is there a reason why this message is coming through in a lot of different ways?
Yes, yes. Your insight is right in alignment, Michelle, with
okay,
astrology and what's going on. I think that, you know, we're pretty familiar with hearing about some of the transits that are already going on, like Pluto and Capricorn, right? We know
right.
that Pluto and Capricorn is creating this huge gradual transformation that's dismantling our structure, which
mm-hmm.
is, you know, evolving over a long period of time. That's our slowest moving planet, so that's going to be in place until 2024. So that's kind of a base, so to speak. Now, there's another energy that's going to be entering that picture, part of the configuration, starting in May. And
okay.
that's going to be the planet Uranus moving into the sign of Aries. So this is going to bring in a whole new aspect. And Uranus, just FYI, stays in a sign for about 7 years. So at some point, especially in 2011 until about 2015, these planets are going to be in square to each other. So we're going to be asked to handle, you know, a little bit more. But just looking at the Uranus and Aries part of it first, Uranus is the planet, first of all, of liberation, freedom,
mm-hmm.
innovation. Its energy is very electrical. It's very inspiring. It's very individualistic. Now, it's shifting from Pisces to Aries in May 2010. So, a little, you know, in a couple of months.
What is it now?
May 29th. Or, I'm sorry, May 27th.
Okay.
Exact.
Okay.
So, Aries, Aries is a fire sign. It's a cardinal sign, which means that it's action-oriented. And Aries is probably the most action-oriented sign of the zodiac. So it's activating our I am-ness, is what I'm calling it.
I like that. Wow.
Yeah. And it's the first sign of the zodiac, right? So it really needs to be seen and heard. It's that very dynamic energy. It's bold. It's courageous. It's the most action-oriented. So here is what you were feeling, the action part. So with the combination here of the planet Uranus in the sign of Aries, we're looking at a number of different interpretations, one of them being independent leadership. But it's that more masculine warrior energy combined with the planet of, you know, liberation. So it's bringing in a new creativity, innovation, and it's also going to be activating a lot more of the metaphysical modalities. For example, Uranus rules astrology.
Okay.
So you know, it's definitely going to be gaining more respect, more acknowledgement. And Uranus in general is the planet associated with metaphysics. And because it's going to be in Aries, and Aries is associated with newness and new beginnings, it's the first sign of the zodiac, I see that as being kind of a catalyst for it taking off in a new direction, or just a new beginning, so to speak. So that's just, I mean, those are just a few of the ways it could.
I mean, that's huge, because you know, even in more of the mainstream, you know, mind-body medicine, you know, complementary medicine, even in those circles, there has been the last couple of years, you know, the thought process that even things like hypnotherapy, repatterning, you know, working with energy, working with sound, that those are, you know, going to be more prevalent, working with beliefs.
Yeah.
You know, we had Dr. Bruce Lipton on, the biology of belief. So you're actually saying, what I'm hearing you say is that part of that is this Uranian energy.
Being in that sign of Aries, which wants to be more, it's more action oriented, so it wants to manifest. It wants to
realize
the energy out there. And you know, when it was in Pisces, which is what we've been experiencing for the last 7 years or so, that energy tends to be more meditative, more contemplative. It's more abstract. Okay. So, and because it's gone for full circle, you know, Pisces, the 12th house, is the last energy of the zodiac. It's now completed the cycle, so now it's starting anew with the Aries energy, with that first house energy.
We've gone all the way around the chart, all the way around the circle with Uranus. So, you know, Uranus in, obviously, Capricorn, Uranus in Aquarius. All the way back, Uranus in Virgo. So it's gone all through the signs, and now it's come back to Aries. So so what are the implications of that? That sounds huge to me. I don't really know what it means, but that sounds huge if we've had this Uranian experience all the way around, and now we're back at Aries. We're back at the beginning, in a way.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that the thing to know is that we're always ascending. We're always evolving. That's our nature, is to progress. And so the longer we are actually on this planet, You know, and when we've gone through those different experiences with Uranus, we have come to a place of more alignment, because again, we're finishing up with Pisces, the 12th house, mm-hmm. which is what? It's our spiritual health. So now, because we've run the whole gamut, so to speak, we've gone through those 12 houses with Uranus, we're now at a place that is even more evolved, but we're ready to take it out into the world more because of the nature of Aries. So, and because of the nature of what else is going on, you know, with all the other planets and, you know, the approaching the end of the Mayan calendar, et cetera, it's just another sign, another indication mm-hmm. that we're ready to go to the next level with the Uranus energy.
Is it more personal?
It's definitely more personal, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Now we have a question from Evolution Muse. And by the way, we will get to, I see people asking the callers. We will get to the callers in about 5-6 minutes. Okay, so I'm going to keep an eye on the phone lines. We do have a question also in the chat. How does this affect someone? So how does this Uranus in Aries, it's trining someone's natal Aries, but someone's asking, how does this affect someone?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to affect everyone differently, depending upon each person's chart. Mm-hmm. But in general, you know, those Aries people or those that are cardinal signs, which the cardinal signs are Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, you know, they're mm-hmm. going to be aspected the most by Uranus in Aries. It's either going to conjunct, square, oppose, or trine. Yeah, you know, each person, I mean, if the caller, the sun sign is in Aries?
One is, yeah. Well, no, that somebody is saying, yeah, that Uranus in Aries, trinatal Uranus.
Yeah.
Sag.
Yeah. So that's going to be quite impactful for, you know, a sun sign Aries. I mean, the sun sign is the biggest influence. So this person could certainly expect, depending upon, again, you know, how they've lived their life thus far in terms of making the necessary changes, it's going to bring in a liberating effect in terms of allowing this person to free up from any limitations, any restrictions, so they can have a fuller self-expression, which is the nature of the sun. So this it can be quite meaningful, quite powerful for Aries Sun people.
Now, some have said that this is a similar time, I guess, that we had in, was it the American Revolution? This Uranus in Aries is we have that same configuration in American Revolution, and then I guess another configuration in the time of the Great Depression.
Right, right.
With these aspects. So, what does that mean? Are we going to be reliving the Great Depression and reliving the American Revolution?
Well, you know, I guess on some small level one could say that. But, you know, I tend to think that because we're always evolving, there are going to be differences in terms of this present time versus back then. The aspect of Uranus and Aries, when it starts to square Pluto, which will be roughly June of 2012 to 2015, that I think is a time when we can expect a lot of tension and more conflict in terms of bringing about some of that Uranian energy, which is, you know, our individuality and our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of the some of the social archetypes, you know, new things wanting to emerge, new types of leadership versus the, you know, the older traditional way. In terms of the economic meltdown, you know, the supposedly the Great Depression. It was the Great Depression in 1930, but the time that we're experiencing now is compared to that. is they're comparing
right.
it at that time, which I personally think that the Uranus energy is going to, overcome some of the Pluto and Capricorn changes, which would be the older way. And the reason for that is simply a technical astrological reason, which is that the Pluto and Uranus planets, when they're squaring each other, one of them, Uranus, is going to start to wax, meaning it's going to ascend and move beyond the Pluto energy. Does that make sense? It's going to gradually start to wax, which means that the new innovative approach, the Uranus energy, is going to win. So there'll be a reduction in the influence of Pluto's energy, which would be, the older institutional corporate, types of power. So the modern-day corporations, those types of structures, I see being numbered. So I don't think it's going to manifest the same way it did back then. That's one of the reasons why I don't think it's going to show up that way.
And is it also because we're different, obviously individually, but as a collective, there's some similarities but also some differences, I suppose?
Yeah. Oh, of course. Definitely.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, and I just see it again as that upward spiral, looking at it from the upward spiral perspective, and that we are here to grow and evolve. And amidst the chaos, we still are able to move through.
Okay, I want to go to the phone lines and see. We've had a few people waiting patiently. 901-406, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you all today?
Hi. And to whom are we speaking with?
This is Lanice.
Lanice. Hi, Lanice. How
are
you doing?
I'm good. I have a question concerning my birth chart. I have Uranus. I know Uranus is in Pisces and Jupiter is in Pisces, and they are both in my seventh house. I'd like to know, how does that affect me relationship-wise? And also, the person I'm involved with is a Capricorn, and Capricorn is in my fourth house of home and my fifth house of romance. And I'd like to know...
Are you saying Capricorn, meaning it's on the fourth house cusp of your chart? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Lanice? Okay.
The fourth, and, well, it's actually in the house. I don't know the difference between the, whether it's on the cusp, but on my wheel, it's saying that Capricorn is in there. The fourth
on
house.
On the outside
of
the circle on the wheel?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's transiting there now.
So you're saying Pluto transiting in Capricorn is going through your fourth house cusp? It's hard for me to picture it without having it in front of me, so I'm just trying to picture what you're describing.
Basically,
why don't we take one at a time first, and look at your Uranus, Jupiter, in your seventh house.
Okay, yeah.
You're going to have a second question about your boyfriend, right?
Uh-huh.
The Capricorn?
Yes. Okay, yes.
Is that your question?
Yeah, right. We'll just do one question because we've got a lot of callers and to get...
Okay, well, let's do my seventh house with Uranus and Pisces
being
there.
Uranus and Jupiter...
There.
Going through there. Okay, now do you have any planets there, Lanice? Natalie? Do you have any other planets there?
No, it's empty, but I understand it's supposed to be Pisces and Neptune there, with Pisces being on my cuts. Natal.
Okay, I'm trying to picture. What's your rising sign?
Virgo.
Okay, so you've got Pisces on your descendant. Okay, that makes sense. Okay. All right, so you want to know how this is impacting your relationship area.
Yes.
Okay. Well, the first thing that I think about with these, the nature of these two planets, Jupiter and Uranus, is about expansion and liberation. And so depending upon, you know, your past experiences in relationships, it wants you to be moving away from anything that's going to be limiting you. Okay? So that's the nature of Uranus, is to free you up from any restrictions. And then Jupiter wants you to be expanding. And, you know, Jupiter in your house of relationships is a fortunate placement when it's transiting. So, you know, I would see that as an opportunity, you know, to pay attention to any, you know, perhaps disruptions or unexpected changes in relationship, which is Uranus energy. I mean, without seeing your entire chart, that's kind of the gist of what that transit would be, for, how you could experience that. How has it been? Have you had any big changes, or?
I haven't been in a relationship in a while, and now I'm in one with a Capricorn. So I was just wondering, is this going to move him out, or is it going to enhance the relationship or bring in somebody new?
Well,
or,
I hear that. Was that Uranus there?
Yeah. Well, you know, it depends. How long have you been with this person?
4 months.
4 months. Okay. And what is your sun sign, Lanise?
Cancer.
You're a Cancer. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know your moon?
Sagittarius.
Sag, okay. Okay, so let me think here. Cancer. Mm-hmm. Well, Cancer has a tendency to look for security and, you know, sometimes hold on to the past, very protective nature. I would see this time in relationships as a time for you to be aware. You know, if there's anything that you need to let go of in terms of an old habit or an old pattern, this would be the time to do it. Jupiter is there to protect you, you know. If this boyfriend feels good so far, then, you know, trust your instincts and take it slow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would take it slow, because you're going to have these planets, especially Jupiter, there for a little while. So you're going to have other opportunities probably. I wouldn't limit myself.
Okay.
Take it slow.
Okay. Alrighty then.
I like that. Thank you, Lanise, for calling in. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lanise.
Thanks. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
You too. Yeah, I understand her, because Uranus could bring something. Catapult us in or catapult us out, right?
Yeah, well, you know, it's nice that she's got them both there, though, because, you know, having Jupiter there certainly lends its degree of protection.
That's what you said.
You know?
Okay, interesting. Nice.
But Uranus still wants her to be, you know, getting rid of any old patterns. Expansion is really kind of the key there with those two.
Okay. And again, the call-in number is 347-539-5122. If you have a question or a comment for a guest or just in general, press 1 on the keypad, and I'll know that you have a question or comment on the switchboard. 561-451, welcome to the program.
Hello. Hi. It's Lena from Florida.
Hi. Who is this now?
Lena from Florida.
Hi, Lena.
Hi, Lena.
Hi. Hello there.
Welcome to Awakening. Did you have a question or a comment for Diane?
Yeah. Yes, Diane. Hi. My birthday is March 7th, 1962.
Oh, okay.
And I just wanted to see what you felt as far as my chart, as far as relationships.
Relationships? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, without seeing your whole chart,
tell
me your first name again.
Lena,
that's right. Okay. I'm sorry, you have your moon where?
I have a moon in Aries, and I'm a rising Cancer.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a couple of transits here that are going to be impacting you here very soon, especially your moon in Aries.
Yeah, I've had a lot of changes in my life in the past few years. I can't even get my
breath. Yeah, well, Pisces in general, too. There's a lot of different things here. In terms of relationship, let's see. Well, because there is going to be kind of an emotional house cleaning coming up when Uranus aspects your moon, I would certainly want to suggest that you remain open to change. The Uranus, when it hits your moon, it's going to want you to have more emotional self-expression. It's going to want you to have freer emotional self-expression. So depending upon, your habits in relationship, if there's anything that needs to still get addressed, any residue, this is going to be the time to do that. You know, it's also, though, going to allow you to attract new types of emotional experiences. Because Uranus's nature is to bring in the new and the different, So in terms of what's coming up with relationship, I'll see, Jupiter is in your sign, which is certainly going to be a positive. I feel like you're going to be working on creating some new values with regard to your emotional life. That's what I'm getting.
Yes.
Again, I'm getting more expansion and you needing to solidify more of your values and what's important for you in relationship.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I'm going to be doing. And the next year, I'm going to be part of a 12-step recovery program.
Oh, congratulations. Wow. Good for you, Lena.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I hear you say that, Uranus is going to activate a lot of courage. Because remember, Aries is the most bold and the most brave, right?
I got it.
So,
I love my Aries. Thank God I have Aries. I never go out.
What did you say? If you didn't have, I didn't hear you.
Thank God I have my Aries, or I would never go out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Pisces is pretty laid back, isn't it?
So is Cancer. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a very very much a turning point time then for you. That makes sense that you would have more initiative, which is very Aries.
Yes, I do want change. I do not want to attract the same kind of man anymore. I've had enough.
Well, congratulations to you.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm just curious when you might be able to see on my chart, maybe, a little.
Well, what? It's going to be simply, Lena, a matter of you looking at the number, the degree, because of your moon. Because when Uranus moves into Aries in May, do you know the number? Is it a single digit or a double digit, your moon?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that far.
Okay. Because if it's between 1 and 10, it's probably going to happen sooner. It'll be probably happening this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're already planting the seed, planting the idea. So
yes,
it's probably beginning degrees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still have a lot of work to do on myself. I know I do.
Yeah.
I don't allow people in my life very easy, and that's not a good thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's look forward to Uranus and Aries.
Okay. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your insight.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Lena.
Right,
thanks
bye.
For listening to the program, and thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Thank you,
take care of yourself.
All right. Again, that call-in number for those listening, 347-539-5122. And those that are listening from Cosmic Dimensions and also those that are listening via the archives later, we're speaking with transformational astrologer, hypnotherapist, and actually also reader, so intuitive counselor, Diane Lerner, and her website is PiscesSolutions.org.
one thing that you had mentioned, this freeing up. So if this Uranus transit is affecting someone in the moon, is that a freeing up, Diane, emotionally?
Yes, yes. The moon governs our inner emotional body. It's the feminine side of our nature. It's the side that comes out in a home. You know, as Lena was mentioning, her home. She doesn't leave the home. It governs the area around our past in terms of our ancestry, our parents, our home life. So anything that's been interfering with one's emotional well-being and happiness, Uranus would want to kind of bring all of that to the surface. Again, the key word with Uranus is liberation. So when it's aspecting one's personal moon, that's going to be very, very profound, very significant.
Interesting. So what signs are going to be most affected? And also I want to dive into how does Saturn and Libra play into this? You mentioned earlier we're in a finishing up cycle, and I wanted to touch back on that. What is that finishing up cycle? And how is this Uranus and Aries and Saturn and Libra, is there a connection or tie-in there?
Now, the first part, when you were saying the finishing up, I'm not sure what you were...
Well, the cycle, you said now Uranus has been through all the signs, and now we're back in Aries.
Right. Yeah, so... Uranus in Aries is it's a place that allows us individually, of course there's the individual and the collective, but individually to tap, because Aries rules the first house. The first house is the house of the self, the identity, the I am-ness. So when you're combining those two, Uranus and Aries, the divinity of our individuality, the part of our ego persona, Aries first house, that is more creative, more innovative, more inspiring. I want to say the divinity of our individuality with those two allows us to tap into our purpose more, or our own grand design, so to speak. So it's going to allow us or nudge us to move into that even more. So it's a very action-oriented place. It's a more, it's a more place of manifestation. It gives us more.
Now that's interesting that you're saying. Okay, so that's interesting. You're saying more action-oriented. So I guess for all of us, and then whether we want to or not, this feeling or motion of action will come through.
Yeah.
I know I've already been feeling the energy. I'm like, you know, up. I feel so good. I don't even know how to explain it. It's like there's just so much creative energy, it feels like, on the planet, and so much to, I don't necessarily want to say do. It might be in the doingness, but to create, to share, you know, to express, to be. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's
seems
a
like
very,
there's a lot of energy freed up right
it's
now.
It's very freedom oriented. You know, Uranus in Pisces is a little more dormant in the sun. When it moves into Aries, and I think we're kind of feeling that as it's approaching. You know, it's ending its stay in Pisces, so I think we're coming out of that place of just being meditative, and we're starting to get more fired up, so to speak. Again, it's Aries being the fire sign, and so it's kind of stimulating us a little bit, kind of getting us more in that dynamic, ready for action mode. Now the second part of your question was how it's going to show up in relation to was it the Saturn, when it's squaring Saturn?
Yeah, how is the Saturn in Libra, with Uranus moving into Aries, and we also have Saturn in Leo, with that opposition there.
Right. Well, you know, when you think about it, which I have kind of been thinking about it. It's an energy that kind of they support each other. Because on the one hand, okay, we think, oh, we've got all these squares, we've got these oppositions. It suggests,
right.
okay, a lot of things are going to be coming to the surface, right? Some of these old structures are going to be kind of shaken up.
Okay.
The Saturn portion, Saturn in Libra. Saturn wants to regulate and bring balance to that structure, which that's kind of already been going on. Pluto has been in Capricorn for a little while. Saturn's been in Libra. They've been squaring each other since December of 08 and will be until the end of this year. So that energy is going on. And then when Uranus moves into Aries, it's going to just take all of that, I feel, to the next level. And on the one hand, you know, that square is certainly going to create some conflict. It's almost like when you look at the two together, Uranus with Pluto, or the two signs, Aries with Capricorn, you know, we're seeing a clash. We're seeing a clash of the old way with Capricorn with a new type of leadership, you know, a more Uranian, more Aquarian type of leadership. So, you know, an uprising of those two forces, you know, could certainly, we can expect that. It's really, that square really, I think, is the true beginning of the big change that wants to emerge. And I think that, you know, a lot of our bravery is going to be tested when Uranus moves into Aries. You know, and I think we have to agree to make the most of it. We always have choices, and there's a freedom in that thought. You know, being vigilant, seeing the choices, creating choices, even when, you know, we don't always have them right at that moment. If there's a new paradigm that wants to emerge, it's our responsibility to do our part. And I think the Uranus in Aries is going to allow us to step into that with more courage.
Well, it almost seems like allow us, but we're also, it seems like, going to be almost mandated that it's going to happen, you know?
Yeah. Again, a more forceful nudge.
Right. That's what I'm wondering with all this call to action. You know,
yeah.
It seems like there's a big nudge, you know.
Exactly. And
push.
And some of it will be, you know, some of it could be extremist because of the nature of those energies. You know, Aries is not an energy that backs down, and Capricorn is pretty, you know, has the heels dug in pretty solidly. So, you know.
Now, what signs are most affected by the T-square?
Okay, the signs that are most affected are going to be those that have late degrees mutable.
Okay.
Which is 24 degrees mutable, and I'll tell you again the mutable signs, through 11 degrees cardinal in their natal charts. Okay, so the mutable signs are Gemini, Virgo, Sag, and Pisces. So again, when you're born during the second part of those signs, you know, the later degrees, around 24. And then the cardinal signs are Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. So up into about 11 degrees into those cardinal signs. Those are the ones who are
and then how do you mean so most affected by the T-square, that it, and again, it depends on where the Aries is in their chart, right?
The degree. Right.
Okay. People just have to get their chart done by you. That's
they
just the bottom to line to figure this out, you know. I think right now is, and maybe you can touch upon this, because I am feeling such a different energy
on the planet. It's, and I'm not the only one that has said this. We had Dr. Jude Kuravan on, and she was saying the same thing. I felt this just major shift, like a new year. Like most of the years, the energy has been rolling in from one year to the next to the next. This year just seemed like a decisive turning of the dial, that it, we definitely have a different energy on the planet, a different quality, you know, if you will, different tone of energy on the planet. And to me, it also dovetails to what you're saying about this, you know, restructuring in a sense, Saturn in Libra, and also the, you know, reorganizing and this, I don't know, wanting to express more, wanting to release more energy in that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I tune in, well, you know, January brought us into a new year. So energetically, mm-hmm. looking at the other science of numerology, it is a different energy.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with the three energy, which is more about manifesting, growth, expansion, mm-hmm. manifesting. And then, of course, as we just move towards closer alignment of these energies in this configuration, you know, the actual T-square, some people are going to sense that or pick up on it more so than others. And I think with you being as, you know, as sensitive and in tune as you are, you would be noticing that. But I think the key word you used, Michelle, is different. Because that, you know, is the, that's the key phrase with Uranus, is different. So
it is a different quality of energy. It feels like a different, even then from last year and the year before, it just seems like a different quality of energy.
Yes. No, I agree.
You know.
I agree. And it's going to start, I think, to be more prevalent. More people are going to start to notice. And it's a more expansive quality, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is,
yes,
it's
yes.
going to give people more options. A more expanded view. And that's why I think, you know, during this time using our tools and keeping in mind that there is, you know, maybe a different perspective to take. I mean, if more people mm-hmm. could do that, maybe we would have world peace one day. Just think, let's spread the word, Michelle. Let's tell everyone now that if everyone aligns during this T-square with their purpose, we could have world peace.
Wow.
I have to throw in my idealistic side.
I love that. I love. So is that T-square in a sense that if a form of aligning, I love that. If people were aligning more with their soul's purpose
their
or life purpose, well, we don't have time to have fight or argument. You're arguing. You're just too caught up in the flow of your, you know, the wonderment of your own life,
that's
right?
That's one way to look at it. Yeah, absolutely. You're so inspired and passionate about your, you know, your work or whatever, then, yeah, there's less time for that. Because you're right, actually. There's no time for the squabbling or the overjudging or the extreme reactions because You're aligned, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always say that. I always feel like that when you look around and you see whether it's individuals or countries that have a lot of conflict, they're usually not living in alignment. They're not aligned to their purpose. They're not fulfilled because
that's
otherwise,
huge.
Right? It is huge.
Yeah,
you just
absolutely.
Don't have time or the inclination. And even these warring nations, they're not living their potential. They're very blocked, very limited in their experience and expression of life. And so they start sticking their nose in other people's business, basically.
That's so true. You know, as you're saying that, it is. That's profound. I agree. And
so maybe this
slogan. You know, live your purpose, or I'm sure you
yeah,
get real
stop
creative
war.
With that one.
Yeah, stop war, live your purpose, you know. It's or living your purpose stops war, something, you know, within and without. You just don't, you know, have the time. And if you think about it, you know, in your own personal life, when you're the most fulfilled, you're not looking too much to the left or to the right, you know, you're not, and if you are, if you notice things, usually you're just so fulfilled, or the body is so, I mean, exhausted in a good way, when you're like, wow, I had a full day or full week, or boy, I did this or that, like a great hike in the, you know, in the sun, in the sunshine, you, at the end of the day, you're like, wow, I feel it in my legs, and you're just, you're relaxed, but it was great. And I think people live to that level, less shenanigans.
Yes. You know? Well, it's more, you're fulfilled. You don't have to seek it outside of you because it's within you. You are self-fulfilled.
That's it. I love fulfilled, self-fulfilled.
That's the key. That really is the key. So hopefully this energy will usher in more of that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to, and by what you're saying. Now, one thing you did touch upon, and I wanted to see what that, we were in this quality, well, we still are, when we have Uranus in Pisces. Mm-hmm. What is that about? And then as we're moving from Uranus from Pisces, which is the water element, to Uranus to Aries, which is the fire, that's a very different energy and mindset.
Yeah, it's completely different. Very, mm-hmm. very different, those two.
And I'm going to have you speak up again.
Okay.
Diane.
Sorry.
They're very different energies.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when you think of Pisces as the mutable sign that it is, its energies tend to want to diffuse or, you know, it's an energy that's less tangible,
mm-hmm.
right? It's more spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's interesting. So kind of out of the spiritual aspect, now what's the implication then for this fire energy?
Well, it would suggest that we're now going to be moving into a period that's going to be more more action-oriented, more of the, okay, we have the we've had the time to reflect and to, you know, contemplate, to visualize, to inspire ourselves from within,
mm-hmm.
right, Pisces energy. So now let's step into a more leadership role. Let's step more into our purpose and
mm-hmm.
show it in the outer world
mm-hmm.
via this, you know, dynamic cardinal energy.
Mm-hmm. So in a way, I'm also hearing more engagement, perhaps,
definitely
with this Uranus and Aries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. More straightforward energy, more presence, I want to
mm-hmm.
say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
so out of that,
go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead. That combination.
That combination, you know, with Uranus. Which, you know, it hasn't been there in a while, Uranus is so much the planet associated with change and bringing in a more humanitarian, different style. And when you combine it with that bold, you know, very dynamic, assertive sign of Aries, and you throw it into the mix with what else is with all the other things that are going on, it really kind of fits perfectly. You know, even though they're challenging, the
mm-hmm.
aspects are challenging to each other, there's still this kind of necessary chaos, is the way I see it, that needs to occur
mm-hmm.
for this unfoldment, for the change to you know, to happen.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost like there's this striking, you know, movement, a stirring out of this meditation, out of this contemplation, moving into living that, like you said earlier, the I am. You're looking at that as the I am.
Wow.
So it really is about the
It's like an alchemy is occurring.
Yeah. So is the alchemy occurring now?
Yeah, it's already started. It's already begun, and we're just kind of going to add another ingredient that's going to make it a little more bubbly.
Oh, okay. So what, now that's, okay. What?
And then we'll have to simmer with that.
So what is our alchemy, I'm wondering? What is our, I wonder what the other ingredient is.
Well, I think that once Uranus moves into Aries, that ingredient is going to activate a lot of resistance.
Okay.
Hence the bubbling. And, you know, I think in terms of the outcome, I think, you know, as we move to 2012 and beyond, I think that this... Hello,
I'm listening. I've got it there.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. We've got some weird sound stuff happening.
Okay. Yeah, I heard some clicking.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
How this is going to look is, you know, is yet to be seen, of course, but I think it's certainly going to be including a more Uranian, you know, Aquarian livelihood for us all.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Mm. More Aquarian, more, what are you saying, livelihood? What are you saying?
I think our livelihood, I think our way of life, you know, our living here on this planet is going to be a place that is certainly more compassionate.
Right. It's funny, we have in the chat, Divine Mystic said, the sound is preparing us for Uranus and Aries. Yeah, because there's like a popcorn sound. I don't know where it's coming from.
Oh, my God, that's a good point. It is kind of staticky. Uranus rules electricity.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I've had twice lost sound, and now there's this disrupting popcorny Uranian sound here.
Oh, my God, that's a good point, whoever made that. That's
funny. Yeah, Diane, Divine Mystic in the chat. So,
well, the popping has begun.
Yeah, I don't know what that is from, but never heard it before. Don't know exactly what it is. I know it sounds like someone's kind of hitting the thing, huh?
I think it's certainly associated with Uranus.
Yeah. So maybe. Okay. So can. But
maybe
the other side
code,
is.
Michelle, I think it's a code for the result of the alchemy.
I know.
Ooh,
I want to know
tap into this code.
Yeah. So that is. Yeah. What is the result of that alchemy? So you're saying one piece. Now this one piece that will be given to us or will integrate. Does that come when Uranus goes into Aries?
Yes. Yes, that's what I'm speaking of.
Okay.
When it gets into the sign. Now, you know, it's going to retrograde. Uranus is going to retrograde back to Pisces.
Okay.
And it's going to be, next year in 2011 until 2015. Is when it's going to be the strongest. But it's definitely going to be starting to be felt when it goes into Aries in May, end of May.
Mm. Okay. So we.
Hello? Hello?
Very strange. Lost Michelle, yes, Tammy, breaking up. Very, I don't know what it is. It's got to be on the, it's not on my side. Never heard those kind of sounds before. So hopefully Diane Lerner calls back in. I don't know why she's off, because we have other people that are on. The bubbling blew her away, divine mistake. Yeah, I had static. It was very strange. And then I heard that's what happens when you talk on Skype. Well, I'm not going through Skype. And I've not had this ever happen before, this kind of bubbly, strange something. I don't know, this kind of popping sensation. Very, very strange. But I did love the, what was she saying here? Diane was saying about the action, and I've been getting that from my guides as well. The static stopped when she got cut off. So let's see what's happening here.
Michelle,
welcome
can
back.
You hear me?
Yeah, if you just speak a little louder.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Maybe it was your her phone. Oh, we had a question in the chat that somebody's moving at end of April. Would that be a Uranian aspect? Could that be a Uranus? Let's see.
What is the question? Someone is moving in April?
Moving. Yeah, Pisces 62 is moving. You're supposed to move at the end of April.
Is this Lena?
That is an Aquarius aspect. No, it's another person.
Oh, as you said, Pisces. The sun sign is Pisces.
Oh, maybe. Yes, Pisces lady.
Okay.
So it could
she's
be
moving
your
at the end of April. Well, depending upon her chart, she wants to know if Uranus could be triggering a move.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it can. Sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that is Lena. Yeah. Okay. That is, yeah, now we sound clear. That was very strange. And then when I, especially what?
That's Lena.
It is Lena, yeah.
Affecting her moon, the moon deals with the home.
Oh, it is Lena, okay.
The moon is the home, so, yeah, that was my first thought was, oh, that must be Lena.
You're right.
That's Pisces.
Oh, and you said the moon is the home. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, so it's more than likely then that her moon is early Aries, because that would fit. That would make sense that Uranus would be conjuncting her moon, and so therefore there could be a change in her home life, which is the moon. Absolutely.
Right. Okay. Interesting. And you were also saying, we're talking about that action, and you were mentioning that this would be different than, not the same as the American Revolution, but some freeing up. Now, do you feel that there's going to be uprising? Or is
probably
it more of an inner uprising? Okay.
I have to say it could show up in both personally and collectively. And again, personally, depending upon each person, you know, in terms of where they're at and how they deal with change, et cetera. But the status of our, you know, planet these days is certainly in a position where It just makes sense to me that there could be more upheaval.
Mm-hmm.
I also just wanted to throw in a little tidbit too, Michelle, with regards to the Pluto Uranus square. Another potential manifestation of that, you know, Pluto is associated with survival as well as money.
Oh, okay.
So our money, I think, is going to be taking on a different role with that square to Uranus, because remember, Uranus wants to be more humanitarian, right?
Mm-hmm.
More
okay.
Balanced, more. It's that planet of equality and again, more fairness. So I think that Pluto, having that connection to money, there's going to be a different experience, a different value associated with money, which I think there's already been speculation about ways this can show up.
Interesting. So really, it's not, I mean, it's like a whole overhaul, in a sense,
mm-hmm.
that's
exactly.
taking place individually and collectively.
Yes, yes.
And how do you feel, Diane, people can best align to this energy?
obviously getting a reading, getting their chart done, but just even hearing what they've been hearing today, knowing that this different energy is on the planet, how can people best align to this, the Uranian energy affecting them personally?
I think it's going to be important, again, you know, the inner shows up in the outer world. Each person taking on, you know, almost like a sense of responsibility for their own personal growth, you know, their journey. Making a point, you know, with Uranus in Aries moving into this configuration and being such a big part of the change, it's going to want to awaken new ideas and new perspectives. Okay?
Mm.
New ideas and new perspectives. So the Uranus in Aries is going to support us in doing that. So trusting that there is a new perspective, even if they can't see it yet, this is
okay.
The time more than any other time that a quote-unquote, I use that word, different option is going to be available. So if there's a you know, an option that you haven't considered, just know that there is one there, you know, and use your resources, use your tools, you know, find someone that is, you know, going to be an objective resource or a wise person that is going to, you know, assist you in properly evaluating your situation and asking for direction. The answers will come.
Okay. So it's knowing this, though. That seems to be, and again, Aquarius is I know, it's finding the tools to connect in with, it sounds like, your inner knowing.
Yeah, and that's a perfect reminder. Thank you for that. Aquarius's key phrase combined with Aries' key phrase, Uranus is I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that you, when you were saying that?
Yeah, I did. Uranus, I did.
Okay, and then
Uranus
Aries
occurs,
is
I know.
I am. I know.
Oh, so it is I am.
I am.
Wow.
Aries' phrase is I am.
I know, therefore I am.
Wow. Yeah, so combining those two.
It's such a metaphysical, spiritual unfoldment, this in action, you know, and I think we're going to see a lot, right? We're going to see a lot of the spiritual implications, the metaphysical, the truth of who we are more in manifested form.
Perfectly said. Yeah, the Uranus energy of I know, you know, again, it's like, okay, I've run the gamut here. I've gone through these houses for a while. I've gone through, you know, that's the 12, I want to say 12 step, the 12 houses, the 12 steps to get to where I am. So now I am, you know, I almost see it as like this resounding stepping out, you know, jumping out in front and saying, okay, I am. I know because of what I've experienced, what I've meditated and been contemplating on for the last 7 years. So therefore, I am, and here I am.
I love that.
Energy.
I love that. That, so it's really, like you said earlier, it is this full circle.
Yeah.
It, you know, making manifest or making, revealing what we know and living that.
Exactly.
I don't see how we're not going to be able to live that.
Yeah.
We're going to have to live this.
Yeah.
You know, I've been seeing it too, you know, with, you know, a few people that I work with and, you know, across the pond and locally, but the not stepping in. So what's going to happen? You know, I have my take on it psychically, and but if people aren't stepping into their power, if they're not stepping in to the I, if they're staying stuck in the I know, and they're not doing this in manifested form, going in the therefore I am, because if we're in the I am of the Aries, Uranus and Aries, you've got to be living this. I think it's going to be a pretty painful wake up, pretty painful transition. Do you have any thoughts on that, Diane?
I agree. I have to agree with that because It's going to require more of a resistance not to, and it's going to be harder.
Okay.
So it's almost like if you're, you know, you're trying to, I'm trying to think of a good analogy. It's, you know, it's like everyone's rowing upstream, and you're trying to paddle backwards.
Mm. Wow.
You
wow.
know, it's like it just gets harder and harder when there's so much energy that is pushing you in a certain direction.
Yeah. And I always say if you don't shift with this energy, it becomes the shift without the S. Okay? What's the shift if you take the F out?
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, if you're not shifting, it becomes a
guess
take
what
out that
left
F.
In.
Yeah, that's what you're left in.
So get that word together.
That's
get
right.
your shift together.
That's right. Exactly.
Use your imagination.
Yeah, exactly. It's really true. I've been seeing it with people, and I'm trying to tell people, just like I'm sure you are with the people that you're working with, transforming. In a transformative way, please, please actualize, do, get out there, do it. I don't care what, come on, because I look at it energetically as like this, you know, stuff that wants to come through now. It's not allowed to come through or come down. If it's plugged up, you know, it's going to be forced. The nudge is going to be pretty loud. And then Pisces in the chat, Lena said, so what you resist, you will persist.
Right. Yes. And even if it's doing something different on a small level, just to kind of prepare yourself or get, you know, somewhat ready or equipped for this, you know, it's, even if it's something that as small
it's
as,
small.
Okay, normally take
whatever it is.
You know, aerobics
Diane,
class. I'm going to do yoga.
We are out of time.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I know. So it's been great. It's been great chatting. Definitely want to have you back. For more information on Diane Lerner and her amazing transformative astrology and other transformational tools that she uses, as well as her practice, her healing practice and hypnotherapy practice, you can go to PiscesSolutions.org. Thanks so much for being on the program, Diane.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Blessings to everyone.
And thank you, listeners, for walking steps with us and sharing your love, light, and wisdom. Great questions, great calls. Also, more information, you can go to awakenings@selfinlight.com. How and where do you listen to Awakenings? Keep those emails coming in. Also, I'm facilitating a workshop on manifesting your soul's purpose, living from the template of your soul, and manifesting this for abundant and prosperous living. This is a call to action. It's conscious creation put into action. A lot of what Diane was relaying about the action, I'm really focused on assisting people in putting action into their transformations right now and helping people really unfold their soul's purpose. And you can find out information on that at awakenings@selfinlight.com. awakenings@selfinlight.com. And again, our amazing guest has been Diane Lerner, transformational astrologer, hypnotherapist, and also an amazing intuitive counselor. And her email is PiscesSolutions.com. All right. Continue to share your light. Shine your light and share your insight. Much peace.